So I'm so happy you're all here. I just came back from Dallas yesterday. We had such a wonderful time, and I was sitting in a group of devotees just like this. I feel so fortunate to be able to do this. And before we begin, I would like to offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. And normally when you do such programs like this, as a facilitator, you're supposed to state your qualifications for doing it. But in the case of Vaishnavas, I think it has to be the opposite, that I don't feel especially qualified, any more than any of you, or perhaps less qualified, but somehow or other, I'm sitting here, and Krishna has engaged me. So it's my honor to serve the servants of the Holy Name, and I think by doing that service, I benefit tremendously. So this program that we're doing here in Alachua is actually inspired, motivated by, and organized by Harinam Chintamani, who has the right name. And the way it happened was, she attended one of our workshops, and she's been listening to recordings of the retreats, and she's being transformed by it. And out of compassion, she wanted to bring that to the other devotees, and not everyone can attend a workshop or a retreat, and she's well aware of that. So she asked, begged, pleaded, cornered me, and I didn't have a way out of it. And I was doing a program every Tuesday night on Krishna.com, so I said, yeah, well, actually, we can do that because we'll just shift. So I want to take just one moment about this camera. Don't worry about the camera. It's a webcam just like we have in the temple. It will only stay on me and Badahari. And if you ask a question or make a comment, the camera will not go on you. If you have a problem, I'm not saying this sarcastic, I'm saying this seriously. If you have a problem with that, just let me know afterwards. But we were trying to continue the program that I was doing. And at the end of this program, about 15 or 20 minutes before the program ends, the camera will turn off because we'll be doing some more intimate discussion. And we obviously, you wouldn't want to broadcast your feelings and intimate things that you would share in this group with the rest of the world. So we're honoring that and respecting that. But if you do have any problems with the camera being on during the lecture and questions and answers, just please let me know afterwards. I was hoping it would be okay. So we also want to thank Janavi, who's given this wonderful house. She has been to Hare Krishna. She has gone to one of our workshops and level one retreat and level two, and she also has been transformed in many ways in her chanting, and so she was very inspired to give her house. It was a great honor, I think, for her to have you all here. And Badahari Prabhu has been to, I think, every retreat that we have had in America except one. And so when Harinam asked me, who do you want to help you, I couldn't think of anyone better than His Holiness Badahari Prabhu. I think we should give him a big hand for coming. And now that my phone is ringing, please turn off your cell phones. They're probably calling for directions. So Badahari, even though he goes to retreat after retreat, he meticulously takes notes at every retreat. So he's a storehouse of the realizations of Satchinandan Swami, of Giriraj Swami, of Rabindra Sarup, of Indradyumna Swami, and every other devotee that has shared their realizations there. So he has a storehouse of information. And the nature of these retreats and workshops is that even though you go to many, you grow, and therefore, they're not the same. Mr. Gopal, please. We want to see your lotus face.
Yeah.
So Harinam's desire was, her second desire was, not only that devotees go deeper in their chanting because it's so important, but that devotees go deeper as a community. So she saw this not only as an opportunity to help us improve our chanting, but an opportunity to come closer together. And that's one of the things we always do in these programs, is organize them in ways that we can open our minds and reveal our minds to one another. So she's very much in that mood. And in that mood, we just want to begin by going around the room, just even though we know, probably we know everyone, but still, you just go around the room and say your name and also say how you feel. And it doesn't have to be good. Just whatever you're feeling, we just want to know. My name is so-and-so, and I feel... So we'll start with Badahari.
My name is Badahari Das. I feel joyful anticipation.
My name is Rangavali Devi Dasi, and I feel blissful.
Jai.
My name is Shama Priya, and I feel happy to be here.
My name is Amrita, and I'm also happy to be here.
Jai.
My name is Madhavi Rappa, and I'm just kind of nervous. I can't hear.
Kind
of what? Kind of nervous because I'm late.
Oh.
My name is Sri Vrindavan Dasi, and I'm excited to be here to make changes in my life.
My name is Kalyapani Das, and I'm feeling proud of myself that I got in here.
Jai. Haribom. Let's give him a big hand. He didn't listen to his mind, he just came.
My name is Mukunda Das. I'm glad to be here and curious to see what's going to unfold.
My name is Brajit Kumar, and I'm happy to be here to expand on Chaitanya's holy names and feel very good about it.
Kirti Raj Das. Hey. I'm happy I had a little bit of energy to make it here.
Jai.
Kirti Raj.
Would anyone like to see Kirti Raj?
Yes! Yeah.
There's a seat right there.
I'm here.
There's room back here, Kirti Raj.
They all want to hug you. Okay, Harinam.
Okay, my name is Harinam, and I'm
from... My name is Jai Gopal Das, and not quite sure how I feel right now. I'm just kind of just first time coming, so don't know what to expect.
Stephen D, I guess I timed it just in time. Improve the job.
Feel like improving japa. Pushkar.
I'm here, and yeah, I'll see what happens.
You definitely will see what happens.
Hari Deva Das, and I'm eager to explore the holy name with him.
I'm excited and glad to be here.
My name is Bonnie. I'm excited and eager to try to make my japa better.
I think we should give these two young ladies a big hand for coming here. We had in Dallas a 9-year-old that came to the retreat from Friday night through Sunday, came to the workshop. He said, well, so at the end we had to share. He said, so he didn't know what to say, so I said, well, what was the highlight? Gave him the mic, japa. Well, what was the best thing about the retreat? Japa. Well, what was the best thing about japa? Krishna.
Sounds like a journalist.
My name is Hari Priya, and I'm feeling it's about time I attend. I'm happy to be here.
I've got some people online who are fighting us now.
Oh, so we're going to hear who's online, yes?
Maduri Leela Nanda from Gainesville, very happy to have by chance turned on the computer. Rasa Rasika from Australia, pleased to see this broadcast.
It's the morning in Australia. So, who? Rangavati.
Yes, I'm Rangavati Devidasi, and I'm feeling very blessed to be here.
I'm
Janavi
Devidasi, and I'm really honored to
chance to serve all of you, and another chance for myself to improve my chakra. I'm Sukhadasi, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm Bhaktinata Devidasi, and I have mixed feelings because I'm used to chant alone, so I don't know how I'm going to feel about that.
I'm Mahabodhidas, and I'm reluctant to say that I'm a little bit apprehensive and fearful to be here, but I hope that that will pass and I can dive deep into the
world. I'm Shrila Ditya Devadasi, and I feel very humbled and blessed to be in the association of so many devotees that take their job so seriously.
I'm Nimai Das, and I'm dead tired, and I hope we can make this good, Mom.
Oh, you want me to stand up and run around? Yes?
Bhushan from New Jersey joined us in this.
Hi, Bhushan, and then we're just introducing ourselves and telling everyone how we feel.
I'm Daksha Navari, and I'm feeling unworthy and desperate for strength, and I'm very grateful to be in Holy Association.
Hi, thank you. So we're going to have to stop the camera for a minute. So everyone on Krishna.com, what I want to tell you is have your japa beads, have a pen and paper. We're going to do interactive exercises. And if you want to get the full benefit of this, then please do them. It's not just lectures and talking. But we have some things to mention here to the devotees. It'll take 2 minutes, perhaps. So Harinam's going to come and just talk about some housekeeping, logistics, and so forth.
I'm going to do the Lakshmi at the end. I'm going to be passing this around for you to write your name and email on. If you have any discussions around Lakshmi or anything, we'll do that at the end. I think we're going to bring up about finishing at 8 or 8:30 now so that we can make that decision as far as the exercises.
We could.
Then it'll be clear for everyone so they can make their plans. And also, bathrooms, would you like to share with everyone where those are, if the need is there, and if they...
There's 2 doors on the other side of this wall, and if you walk in the door, the first door to the right, there's a bathroom on both of those. So if you just look in this room, there's 2 doors on the other side, and if you walk in and go to the right, there's one on the right, there's a bathroom.
Regarding the schedule, I was told 8, and I've got to leave at 8.
Yeah, so how many people, see, there's a little confusion, I actually thought it was 6 to 8. Then we changed it. Then I thought, then some devotees said they can't come at 6. So then I thought it was 6:30 to 8:30. And then Harinam told me today a lot of devotees can't stay after 8. So how many, not considering tonight, but on a regular basis, cannot stay past 8? 2, 3.
Thank you.
Somebody back there. I'm here too. So I think we've got about 5. 5? To finish at 8.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And how many can come before at 6?
How many can come? How many cannot come before 6:30? So the same problem. Okay. So we'll do our best to do everything by 8, and if it's a total strain, we'll talk about it later.
The other thing is, so that Donovan can put her children to rest, and it'll be quick. Usually if we serve prasadam and then we start talking. There is going to be water in the kitchen if anybody forgot water. I do have pens and paper. When we go to a writing exercise, if you raise your hand, and then I'll know that you don't have paper and pen, and I'll make sure you get it. We have some treating, just the chidwa, that we'll be glad to give you on the way out. We, congregation, if you feel like you would like to talk a little bit, we'll probably have to be outside quietly so the children can go to bed, because this is a school night. So we're going to facilitate our hostess and, you know, and leave quickly, quietly, not speedily, but anyway. Are there any other questions? And anybody right now can tell me if you need paper and pen? Because this will be, okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then in the future, 8, you can bring paper and pen. Okay, all right.
Okay, we're ready to go. So, before we begin, there's a couple things I wanted to mention that are really important for getting the most out of this. What do you think those would be? Anybody? How could you get the most out of the next 6 weeks? What would?
Showing up,
yeah. That's 90% of success is what? Showing up. And showing up when? No, early. Because showing up on time means what?
Being late.
Now, it's important. We're going to have a buddy system, and we're going to do exercises, and it could be problematic if you show up late and your buddy's depending on you. So try to see this program less as like recreational and more as serious program for improvement. You know, because, you know, like we have our programs, you know, kirtan, hearing it, you know. So I don't view it that way, at least not from my experience of doing this. I view it as we're doing certain things, there's a certain system to it. We've done 10 retreats, like 10 workshops, so we've worked it out over the last 2 years, so we know what works. And one of the things that works is when devotees who come are committed to all the processes and being on time. And I've seen this again and again. Some of the devotees come to these retreats and workshops and they're completely transformed in their japa. It's amazing how much they get out of it. You wouldn't believe the realizations they have. I'm shocked just listening to them, the realizations. And I think Badahari and I both have had that experience. Anyone who's come to a retreat, it's almost like after the retreat, it's almost like, God, I never chanted Hare Krishna before. Like, it's just like the holy name just opens up a new dimension to it. But in order to do that, there has to be a certain mentality that we're going to be committed to having that experience and committed 100%. So it's also part of the community. If 90% of you are here on time and 10% of you are not, then what happens to the energy? We kind of lose the support of the group. And that's part of the dynamic that makes this successful. So it's not just a program, but it's a support of everyone. So is it possible that you all, I know, you know, you've been devotees a long time, this is a lot to ask of you. Is it in any way conceivable that you can all be here, like sitting in this room at 6:29 and 59 seconds at the absolute latest? Or is that possible? Is it not possible? Is anyone? It's not possible for anyone to do that. So it's very, very important. And then when you're here, another principle is sometimes we do things that seem extremely fundamental. Like, why are they doing that? What's the point? We did an exercise at the japa workshop in Alachua that if you would have looked at that, you might have been sitting there and thinking, this is really elementary. I've been a devotee for so long. Why are they doing this? That was the exercise where Sundarup Prabhu had his biggest breakthrough in japa in his life. That exercise that externally seemed to be almost like nursery school japa. I'm not going to tell you what it is because we might do it. But the point is, don't enter this like, well, I know that, and what can I get from that? And just be open to participate. Because Mukunda will tell you, what are the three worst words in the English language?
I know that.
Everybody say that. I know that. Because when we say, I know that, what do we do? what happens to the mind? Which way does the switch go, on or off? And if the switch turns off, you're not going to get what you've come here to get. The holy name is, it's amazing what you'll get. Girashrami went to his first retreat. At the end of the retreat, he said, this was the most profound experience in my life. So how could he say that? Girashrami. That's a lot to say. But he's really saying it was the most profound experience with the holy name in his life. So that's awaiting us, but we have to be committed. So what's the difference between wanting to achieve something and committing to it?
Action.
Well, what happens? What's the difference? If you want something, or like, what are they? What's the difference between trying and committing? Try means to?
Not do it.
To what?
No, you won't do it.
Yeah, you won't, or you maybe. So it's really important. It's only 6 weeks. And the other thing that's going to make this, we're dealing with a different dynamic here, because normally what we do is we do Friday night, we do all day Saturday and Sunday, or we do 4.5 days. Now we're breaking it up. So there's a problem because we lose the energy, but there's a way to get around it. And this is a way to get around it, that whatever we do here, we're going to give you work to do at home. So that whole week, whatever the focus is, and each week there's going to be a focus on something, that we're going to ask you to focus on that particular attitude or practice so you can do it all week, and we're going to ask you to deal with a couple of the things that you find to be detrimental to your japa, and we're going to ask you to have a buddy that you're going to call every day or every night, anytime, and check in. It could take 30 seconds to check in. It could take a minute, an hour. It's up to you how you want to do it. If you do that, it's going to make a major difference. If you don't, you might get something. You might come out and say, that was nice. That was interesting. In my book, if you say it's nice and it was interesting, I completely failed. And that's why I'm emphasizing the commitment part, because I know if you don't commit, you're going to say, well, that was nice. That was interesting. Or worse, you'll say, well, I didn't really get anything out of that. I'm too fallen. I'm too this or that. So if you just can do that, it's really going to make a difference. It's actually going to change the way you chant. It's going to change your japa. You'll have a similar experience to what you would have if you went to a full program, and that's what I want to create. And I'm just anxious, just being honest with you, that I'm anxious about creating it, because I'll feel I failed you if I don't. But I can't think of any other way to do it unless you're willing to take it home and practice it. And you know, when you deal with your buddy, you're committed every day to call them and check in. And you're going to check in with the things that you want to do to improve, and you're just going to, he's going to ask you. You said, well, you know, you're, for example, you might say, I'm not going to chant while I watch TV anymore. I'm just going to chant while I watch the commercials. So your buddy's going to call you and say, Prabhu, did you chant watching the TV or the commercials? Go, only the commercials. So this is the kind of thing you're going to determine what you want to do, what you want to eliminate, and what you want to add, and you're also going to add the ideas we give you tonight. And you're just going to check in with your buddy every day. And because you know you're accountable to him, what's going to happen? Yeah, because you know you're going to get a call, and you're going to have to, did you finish? You say, call me. My goal is to finish my rounds by 8:30. So you're going to get a call every night at 8:30 at night. Did you finish rounds by 8:30 in the morning? Yes, no. You know you're going to get the call the next day. You know you're going to get the call the next day. You're going to get the call for 7 days. And you're going to determine what you want them to ask. So that's really important. It's really going to help you. Because my experience in doing these workshops is everybody comes in with certain habits. Some are good and some are not good. And habits are defined as actions which we are unconscious of. And so what we do in these workshops is become conscious of the things we're doing wrong and alter them or eliminate them and become aware. We're given tools of things that will help us. So you know that story about the guy who got on the horse? He had to travel. This is back in the day when there were no cars. He had to travel, so he got on the got this mystic horse, and the mystic said, you say thank God, and the horse travels, and you say save me, and the horse stops. So he's traveling, thank God, and the horse is going. And the horse goes right up a mountain, heading right for a cliff of this huge mountain. And the guy is so nervous, he forgets the mantra. And the horse is going right to the, so what does he do? Right to the edge, you know, so just save me. And he didn't remember the mantra, he just screamed, save me, and the horse right on the edge. Ah, oh, thank God. So that's how habit works. Doesn't it? It's just, you know, so we are now coming in tonight with certain habits of japa that we're either aware of or they're unconscious. Habits maybe you chant while you drive, you chant while you watch, you clean your house, you water your plants. You shop and you chant. There's so many things which and our goal here is to help you get an experience of japa that is so good, so relishable, so deep that you would never in your life ever want to do that again, because you would realize that experience is what I'm giving up by doing that. That's our goal. So it requires a lot to deal with it. So this, I really need you to be 100% committed to this. So is there anyone that, is everyone committed?
Yes. To improvement.
Yeah, to make the effort. It's all about effort, yeah. Anybody not committed? Okay, I want to tell you one more story before we begin. There's a man who loves mangoes, so he always goes in the trees to get mangoes. He climbs up the top of the tree, gets the best mango in the tree, starts coming down, and his shirt gets caught on a branch. And he's laying on the branch like this. Whoa, whoa. And he can't get down because he can't grab onto anything. So he's screaming to all the people in the village, help me, I can't get down, help me. So they come out, they bring a ladder, it's too short, they can't climb, they don't know how to climb as high as he climbs. So what to do? They call the village sadhu. What does the village sadhu? He comes, picks up a rock, boom, the people are looking at this sadhu going, oh my God, this guy's nuts. Must be a Pungala Baba or something, this guy is crazy. Sadhu says, you know, this guy's, oh, give me another rock. Bam! Oh! And the guy in the tree, I'm going to get you. I'm going to come down and get you. Sadhu leaves. What does the guy in the tree do? Comes down and gets him. Sadhu's gone. That's how the sadhu got him down out of the tree. So what's the moral of the story?
Don't climb trees.
Don't associate with those sadhus. So the moral is obvious. If you want to do it, you'll do it. Actually, my realization is if you want to do it bad enough, you don't even need a retreat. Krishna will just show you. You know, everything that we teach at the retreat, he'll reveal. He revealed it to Satchinandan Swami. Of course, Satchinandan Swami was chanting over 100 rounds a day, and that's how it was revealed. But the point is, we can't go much further than we think. And one last thought. Whatever stage of japa you're at now, it's the reason we're at it most likely is because it's a comfort zone. And to do things to improve sometimes is difficult. It's uncomfortable. So if you want to get more taste, if you want to put more effort, if you want to concentrate more, you're going to have to do things that may be a little uncomfortable. But that's where the nectar is. So I'm just encouraging you. You know, it may be uncomfortable. You may find it difficult to call your buddy, to do the things we ask, but in the end of these 6 weeks, it's going to be totally worth it. Last thing I want to say is I just want to give you a little history how the japa retreats developed, because what we're doing here is we want to give you like the essence of what we do at the japa retreats, and we want to do it. It's a challenge for us to do it in an hour and a half, six times. Because, you know, we're giving you what happened in 4.5 days from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. So it can't exactly be the same. But just let me tell you the history of it. Satchinandan Swami told us at a japa retreat that he had a realization maybe 5-6 years ago about his chanting. And he confronted his chanting and he asked himself, have I actually ever chanted a real holy name once in my life? He just had to confront that. And he had doubts about it. Is he actually really chanting the holy name? So he took that to heart. He went on many japa retreats of his own in Govardhan, spending the entire day chanting, not 64 rounds, not 75, not 85, not 95, not 105, a lot more, but he won't tell anybody how much more, but you can kind of figure if that's all you're doing all day, every day, you're going to be chanting a lot. So what happened was, the holy name was revealed to him in ways it was never revealed to before. Obviously, if you did that every day, you could imagine what would happen. And at that point, he became, I would say, concerned and also inspired to bring that out to the devotees. He was getting so much realization. He said, oh my God, this is what the holy name can do. I never realized that. We need to bring this to devotees. We need to facilitate this kind of experience. So he established workshops and retreats with the whole idea was to just facilitate that experience so other devotees could get the same experience that he was getting because he was so inspired by that. So that's basically how this evolved. He developed a blueprint to do that. Later on, I joined the team. We developed, we added to that blueprint. We went over it every time. We've done like 10, I'll say 20 perhaps, and we've gone over it every time, and we actually saw the elements that were changing, that were really hitting devotees in the right way, what they really needed to go through. And after each workshop, we saw that devotees really opened up to the holy name in new ways, in different ways, and their lives would start to change in there. And I'll tell you a story, it was so funny. Not to criticize anybody, but just to give you an idea what happened. The year ago, we had a retreat in Georgia, the first Japa Level 1 retreat in Georgia. And one of the things we teach in the retreat is when you chant, you should really be focused, and it's actually better to sit down instead of walk around, and particularly it's better to sit in a place where you won't be disturbed. We call the sacred space, and it's better not to look around and just to focus, and it's better to sit straight. We teach these things, right? So we had Radhastami, and Radhastami, everyone was there in the morning, and Radhastami came like 3 days after the Japa retreat. And we teach, be very focused on your chanting. So I was walking around the temple chanting my rounds, and I was looking. And you know what happens during japa after about an hour? What happens? The energy tends to slacken, you start talking, maybe take a little nap. So I was looking around, and after about an hour, like everybody, not everybody, but a lot of devotees were talking and, this and that. And I was looking at all the devotees who'd been to the retreat. None of them were talking. They were all Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So it actually makes a difference what we do. You get tools and you get realization. And you start to see when I chant in a certain way, it does make a difference. So it was really funny. I was watching. I was feeling proud of all you guys. Hari Dev was there. Hare Krishna, Krishna. So now, tonight, our program is that we're going to speak on the theme of this workshop, and the theme is deepening our relationship with the holy name. And this is one of the most powerful themes that is taught. And why is it powerful? Well, Bhadahari is going to tell us why it's powerful. But we have a principle in our workshops that chanting is not just a process, it's a relationship. And I would even say further, it's not a process, it's a relationship. Say not just we call it a process, but really it's a relationship, it's not a process. And Bhadahari is going to enlighten us as to why it is a relationship, and also as to why if we relate to it as a process, it will be detrimental to our chanting.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you. Idea of a relationship, it's fundamental. It's said that a person, when they come to the stage of bhava, that they actually realize that the name and the person are the same. So someone may think, let me wait till bhava to think about that. But in answer to that question, I just wanted to read something to begin from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Where is it? well, I'll read this. If we wish to attain any goal, we have to remain mindful of it while we are engaged in whatever achieves bringing it about. Even though it seems often that most of our attention must be used just to keep ourselves on course, somewhere in the back of our mind, we have to remain aware of our destination. After all, reaching the destination is the only reason we have undertaken the journey. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from the very beginning of this practice, the devotee must adopt this concentrated attention, and he should be careful not to give it up because of distraction or inattention. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviating intelligence or concentration on their goal certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. So, yeah, the idea is that we're, of course, that's a fundamental principle, that the name and the person are non-different. We can't develop a relationship with someone in another place by calling their name, ordinarily. If your spouse is in Arizona, you can't deepen your relationship by calling their name from Florida. So that's what we're saying, that Krishna, Radharani, not only those two, but all of their associates, Srila Prabhupada, it's a relationship not only with Radha and Krishna, but with all of their associates. And that's our focus while we're chanting. As I say, this has to be our premise. And if we chant with this in mind, actually we get reciprocation. If we think that, well, Krishna's not here, or I'm just chanting some names, then there's no possibility of reciprocation. So in a relation, so if we're thinking of this as a relationship with Radha and Krishna, then attentiveness comes in. Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about attentiveness as being the principal offense against the holy name. And if you think about, just like if you have I don't know if you've had this experience of being with someone even all day long, but their mind is somewhere else. Or like I call my daughter up sometimes on the phone, and if she calls me, it's fine. We can have a talk. But if I call her and she's doing something else, then she's on the internet or she's doing something, and I'm talking and she's, yeah, right. What was that? What did you say again? So we're talking, we're together, but there's no relationship. So these are all kind of points that we'll cover more over the period. But the idea is that attention is such an important point in a relationship. If someone tries to relate to you and you don't reciprocate with them, then the relationship immediately breaks down. There's nothing that can happen. So the first idea is that when I'm sitting down to chant, it's not some names, it's not a mantra, it's not about a technique. It's about, now is my time to be with Krishna. And Krishna's personally present in his holy name. So that awareness it transforms the process. Now the second point I wanted to make on that is that where it's not a new relationship. We may think, well, I took up spiritual life at such and such a time and I'm doing this and this and this. But actually, we know that we had a relationship with Krishna, and that it's... I just want to stop and say this isn't usually something... This is for experienced chanters. Because usually we say, chant and be happy. But actually, I was thinking our situation is kind of like, say, a man leaves his wife and then comes home after 10 years and says, honey, I'm home. Yeah, right? Now, there's, you know, you're not going to be just able to take up where you left off. Right? You've got to reestablish the relationship, the trust has to be reestablished. And that's our situation. And we see that we have issues with Krishna. We have issues in our relationship. This is practical, and we can see this in the world, how the world is full of jealousy, envy, and so on and so forth. And these all reflect our primal relationship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually, I think it was Rupa Goswami, was saying that, Krishna, you say that whenever your devotees glorify you, that you're there. But I think you're not telling the truth. Because I see your devotees are sincerely chanting, and sometimes you're not there. And so the response was that, no, I'm there, but sometimes I remain hidden and observe them.
Hmm.
So we have to have that confidence that Krishna is there and he's observing us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made this point. I thought it was very beautiful that we want to see Krishna, we want to be with Krishna, or maybe we don't. That we have to see. But we're in any event, we're chanting, and our expressed intention is to develop our love for Krishna, develop our relationship with Krishna. That's what we're here for. But Krishna doesn't appear. So then what happens? Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, then when Krishna doesn't appear, we're left alone, and the purpose is to examine our heart.
Mm.
Because it's just like that. If you're with someone and then you're not there, then it's like, oh, what's going on? So this is part of our dynamic relationship with Krishna. When we become attentive in the process, when we actually want Krishna's company, then the light gets turned on, what's going on inside. And we actually look, how am I really feeling? How do I really feel towards Krishna? I'm chanting Radha and Krishna's holy names. How do I really feel? What's going on? What are my attitudes? What are my emotions around this? What's coming in the way? Ravindra Swarup Prabhu told you've probably all heard this, but perhaps not, that he said that at a certain point, like many other devotees, he became very, very determined to improve the quality of his japa and to really chant attentively. I just wanted to say one more word about it begins with the determination to become attentive, and it takes determination because usually we don't have that habit. We're chanting, but we're, you know, perhaps planning the day, and that can really go on. It's a kind of a schizophrenic thing when you think about it. You know, ostensibly we're chanting, but you know, our mind and heart. You know, one thing is to bring the mind. The second thing is to bring the heart. That's the idea of alignment, which we'll speak about. If those...
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
After you leave, 90% of what he said you'll forget in the next 2 or 3 days if you don't write it down. So if you find anything worth remembering. Of course, I could sell you the recording at $100 a CD, but it's cheaper to write it down. So just, if you find anything useful.
Yeah. So
Peter Berwash said, what did Peter Berwash say? Are you know? Yeah, 70% is lost for the most intelligent. What about the rest of us? If you need paper and pen, just raise your hand. There's so, one here.
So this the determination to be, you know, I'm with Krishna now. Let me be attentive. It's like my wife's complaint for years was with me was, you're just not present. I don't know if any other husbands have heard a comment like that.
You're the only one, yeah.
Huh?
You're the only one.
I'm the only one, okay. And it took me the longest time to figure out what she was talking about, frankly. I finally think I did, sort of. You can ask her. But anyway, so that determination to be present with whatever comes, too, because it's not always pleasant. So Ravindra Sarupa was telling this wonderful story, and many devotees have had similar experiences, that he made a determination to really focus on his chanting. And at a certain point, he noticed that he was chanting and feeling very unhappy. There's this profound kind of sadness came over him. He didn't know what to, this was many years ago, he didn't know what to, who to talk to about it, because, you know, our philosophy is chant and be happy, not chant and be sad. So this was happening to him each day, and he was, but he was determined, let me work through this. And at a certain point, it came to him that he was realizing that he had left Krishna. This realization came. Krishna, which is all of our situation. So, during the course of our developing our relationship with Krishna, you know, this is something that we have to deal with within ourselves. Why did I leave Krishna? Why am I here? And but that's the beautiful thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing. And he realized that, you know, at first he was thinking, well, I'm all alone. Nobody's ever experienced this. And he started reading the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they're all full of these such statements and how he's feeling. And so that is, and that's how humility, true humility of the Vaishnava develops, is in contact with Krishna. So those are 2 points. One thing is that it is a relationship, and that we're also in the process of mending our relationship. It's like sometimes two people have a marriage counselor or something like that, and they get together, and the marriage counselor says, well, you're at fault here, but you're at fault here. But in this case, Krishna's not at fault. It's the onus is on us. And but at the same time, Krishna's observing all of our activities, and he's very kind. He wants us to come back to him, but he's working with us in such a way. He's sending us things within our day, within our life, within our relationships. He's sending us things that correct us, that jolt us. Those are all part of our relationship with Krishna. The things that happen to us in our life, whether horrible or great, those are all part of our relationship with Krishna. Krishna's not, he didn't notice that. So these, as we chant, with attention and just focus on our relationship with Krishna, then these, it's a new world. And the other, the last, how am I doing here? Yeah? Okay.
The last point?
Yeah. I'm trying to fit about an hour's worth of stuff in a few minutes here. So the last point is that Krishna wants to help us. Or sometimes the idea is it is a relationship. So when we're sitting down to chant, it's not about, you know, our power over, you know, our mind and body exactly. You know, that, okay, you know, I'm going to do all the right techniques and I'm going to chant. And it's not exactly like that, although we may speak about techniques. But at the same time, Krishna's there. As I mentioned, that when we're chanting Krishna's name, Krishna's present, Radharani's present, the whole spiritual world is present. Srila Prabhupada taught us, even from day one, that we're calling on, you know, O Radha, O Krishna, please, you know, we're calling on them. So we're not chanting on our own strength. We actually can't chant on our own strength. It's not that when we say Hare, that, you know, that Hare Krishna appears as a result of my making certain sounds. The holy name doesn't appear just by our speaking, but actually the holy name appears by his sweet will. So, and I've had this experience some mornings, just feeling like, well, I'm really exhausted this morning, I won't be able to chant very well, I'm really tired. But Krishna, please help. And of course it doesn't always happen like this. Krishna's independent, it's not a formula. But I've had this experience that sometimes those were my best rounds because I felt helpless to actually do it. And I felt that Krishna was coming to my aid and chanting for me, so to speak. So this is our life is, you know, this is our life's work, really. As Srila Prabhupada said, the most important instruction of the spiritual master is this order to chant 16 rounds. And he said about himself that he didn't have any knowledge, in his humility, that he didn't have knowledge or devotion, but he had firm faith in the holy name. And clearly his vision for us and for the world. Another time, Srila Prabhupada was, he was asked that, you know, we're asking you so many questions now, but who will we ask after you're gone? And his response was, don't you know that Krishna is none different from his holy name? This was his response. So, clearly Prabhupada gave us Krishna in the form of his holy name. He introduced us, and he wanted us to develop that relationship. It is a relationship. He made it very clear. And by entering into that relationship as part of our daily practice, then, you know, then everything will unfold spiritually. It's the essence of everything we do. Of course, we want to do so many things. We want to accomplish so many things. But the essence is our relationship. So the idea is to each day sit down for an hour or two with Krishna and develop that relationship. It's worth the effort. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Padhari Prabhu ki jai. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever said in your life, I have to do my japa? Mm-hmm. I have to chant my japa?
Yes.
Everybody. Can I change your vocabulary? This is your meditation for this week. And please write this down. It's not my japa. It's whose japa?
Our japa. Our japa.
This meditation is extremely powerful because my japa denotes that it's possible that Krishna is not there because I'm doing my japa. But with our japa, Krishna is there because it's not just me. That's a very powerful meditation. I have used this, and all I can say is the results I got are incredible. And I give you 100% money back guarantee on this. I've had some amazing experiences with this. I don't want to describe them because I'll sound proud. Maybe you'll even think I'm a sahajiya, but this is a powerful meditation. I wanted to just add to a few things that Bhadahari was saying. A realization that I had about this idea of seeing chanting as a process, there is a really big problem with that. And the problem is, if it's a process, it's only you who suffers if you don't do the process well. It's not about Krishna or relationship, it's about a process. Interesting, isn't it? The way words change word to chanting as a relationship from process. Yeah, I'm doing the process. I had a bad day. Just a bad day in the process. I was supposed to practice piano. I didn't do it right. It was a bad day on the piano. It's just a process. It's nothing to do with a relationship. I want to ask you a question. It will help understand. This sign says, Krishna doesn't have everything. Whoa, I never read that in Prabhupada's books. What's wrong with Mahatma? What doesn't Krishna have? There's something he doesn't have. Doesn't have our devotion. Or, we can say more, he has everything but our hearts or our love. Isn't it? That's the one thing. And Krishna wants that. In our retreats, devotees often go through an experience where they don't feel that there's any reason that Krishna would have any interest in them. And Garuda explains so nicely, and Rabindra Sarupa explains so nicely, that it's not possible for Krishna not to love us. It's impossible for him, just as it's impossible for a parent not to love their kid. It's impossible for Osama bin Laden's mother not to love him, no matter what he does. It's just the way it is. Krishna cannot not love us. So Krishna wants our heart. So now we're chanting bad japa. Put Krishna in there. What is he thinking? I want you, what did Prabhupada say? I want you to go back to God. Krishna wants us back how many times more than we? 10? 100? Was it? Who knows? At least 10, I would say. I was told, I think, 100. Probably, you know, much more than that.
I think he said you take one step.
Yeah, he takes 10. I guess it depends how much we want to go. Then you have to do the math. You know, maybe if you want to go more, it's 100. And if you want to go less, it's 1,000. But Krishna, taking that idea that Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead more than we do. So think of this meditation of our japa. I'm chanting and I'm not doing well. So now I'm depriving Krishna of the purification I need to go back to him because he's waiting for me to go back to him. If you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Gop Kumar goes back to Krishna, he says, I'm waiting for you. I was waiting for you to come, but I couldn't break the rules. You had to go through the process and I got so anxious I broke the rules for you. So Krishna's waiting. And I think the holy name is when Mahaprabhu broke the rules. So we're chanting. How does Krishna feel about our bad chanting? You think he doesn't feel anything? There's something going on. There's a relationship. So if you take the concept of our japa, that Krishna's waiting for me. Krishna wants me to come purified. He doesn't want me to wait another 10 lives. He would like me to come. Don't you think Krishna would want us to all go back to God in this life? You think he's up there going, nah, Mukunda, I don't like you. You said that nasty thing yesterday. And we're all thinking, yeah, I knew it. Krishna definitely doesn't like me. That's it's not true. Krishna cannot not like us. He wants our heart. That's the only thing he doesn't have. That's what he wants. So that's one concept. Badahari talked about attention. My experience is if you chant our japa, if you chant as if Krishna's sitting there with you in his name listening, you don't even have to worry about controlling your mind. It's automatically controlled. It's amazing how easy it is. All right, I'll reveal what I do because I'm so puffed up. This is one of the things I do because I feel that Krishna's there. I have a desire to teach this to non-devotees. So sometimes when I chant japa, I imagine myself on a stage teaching this to 1,000 people. And Krishna's sitting like, okay, Krishna, this is what I want to do. Are you ready? I'm ready. Can we do it together? I feel this togetherness of empowerment. Like, Krishna, I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, I'm ready. Please empower me. This is what I want to do. Or a desire I have. Krishna, this is my heart. Please. You know? So it's very easy to control the mind that way because you're conscious that Krishna's there. And you're going to imagine 16 rounds like that. It's really amazing. This is a statement from Rabindra Sarupa about attention. Can somebody read that for me, loud and clear? You can't see it?
Within attention are the seeds of attraction.
Hmm. Within attention are the seeds of attraction. You know, sometimes devotees ask, well, am I just supposed to hear? And if I just hear, what's going to happen if I just hear? So if you focus on Krishna, what's going to happen? Attraction's going to come. That's the process. So by bringing more consciousness of Krishna, within attention are the seeds of attraction. By bringing consciousness into your chanting, attraction comes. Here's my barometer for a good japa day. When you finish your last round, it is extremely painful to put your bead back down. You have to go to work, you have to go to school, you have to do something. You don't want to put it down. That's when you know you're at a good japa day. Anything else, it's substandard. Why? Because what did Prabhupada say? He was asked, what do you get by chanting? And Prabhupada, what did Prabhupada say? What do you get by chanting? You get more chanting. There's a problem with that. What do you get by bad chanting? More what? Bad chanting. That's the problem. When we chant poorly, when we don't chant in relationship, then what happens when you get to your 16th round? Relief. And put my beads down and get on to surfing the internet and doing other interesting things. It's a perpetual habit. So when you get in the right mode, you get this domino reaction. You have a good day of japa. The next day is good. It gets easier. You come to that point where this is really nice. I actually like to do this. So this meditation, this is our focus for the coming week. When you go home this week, it's our japa. And you're going to have a buddy. And this is one of the questions your buddy's going to ask you and you're going to ask your buddy. How are you doing with our japa? How are we doing with our japa? And so you're gonna monitor this. And if you do this well, you're going to have a really good week this week. I promise you. So in order to go on to our next exercise, we need first for all of you to determine if you're going to be here for the next 6 weeks, because we want to make buddies and we don't want you. I mean, it's fine if you don't want to be here, if you don't like what we're doing or you can't do it. I won't be offended. Badahari won't be offended. We won't cry all night tonight. That's perfectly fine. The reason I'm asking you this is because we're going to do a buddy system, so you don't want to have a buddy with someone who's not going to be doing the process, ideally. So if there's anyone who's not going to come for the 6 weeks, we just have to know so you don't pick that as your buddy. Yeah, if you're not going to come. Like, Kishore, I asked him to come.
And I'm not sure if I can be there.
So if anyone else isn't sure, they can be your buddy. Anybody else not going to come or not sure? It's 6:30 to 8. Yeah. Well, so anyway, we're going to pick buddies. So if somebody picks you as a buddy and you're not 100% sure you're going to come, just tell them that so they'll know. So right now we just want to take a minute. And the idea with a buddy is pick somebody that you feel comfortable with opening up with. could be your wife, it doesn't have to be, or husband.
It could be a spouse.
Yeah, it's no problem. As long as you like opening up with your spouse, then it's fine. Some spouses feel more comfortable with their friends. Whatever works best for improving your japa. So what we have to do now is you have to move around the room, find your buddy, and sit next to your buddy, because we're going to do an exercise and you're going to need your buddy. So find somebody you feel you'd like to open up with, and if somebody picks you, let them know if you're not going to be here for 6 weeks.
My schedule is.
Mara said a really powerful thing when you were making that point about the broken relationship. You said, chop it. It's the microcosm of our relationship because we have to continue to go to it and break it. No.
Have to what?
Talk in public.
No. Okay.
She just wanted to know if you're going to have to talk in public. You're not going to have to talk in public. That's totally voluntary. We'll ask if you want to share, but it's voluntary. What? So does anyone not have a partner? Raise your hand if you don't have a buddy. Because if you don't have a buddy, we'll create a buddy for you. You need a buddy?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a buddy?
Yeah.
So then you'll need to sit with him.
Okay.
Buddy Hari. It has to be just one buddy. What? Oh, then I'll be your buddy if there's an odd number. So, you don't have a buddy?
I don't have a buddy.
So you two want him, or no?
Yeah.
Or you? Okay. So now, I had a thought today while I was chanting japa. You're not supposed to think. You're supposed to be a zombie, but I had a thought. It does happen even to the japa man. So this is my thought. My thought was, I chant every day at a certain level. I'm thinking in terms of relationship. Now think of a relationship, and if every day for the rest of your life you did something to help that relationship, where would that relationship be at the end of your life? So I began calculating that. So I'm 58. If I live to 75, it'd be like 6,000 days I have. So 6,000 days, every day I did something positive in a relationship, how good would that relationship be 6,000 days from now? It'd be 6,000 times better, maybe, or I don't know if that's good math, but it would be a lot better. If I did something detrimental to my relationship for 6,000 days, and those of you who are younger are more on the 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 days, or 25,000 days ahead of you, you did something detrimental every day for 25,000 days, at the end of your life, you're going to be sitting there on your deathbed going, darn, I should have gone to that japa retreat. It's going to be cumulative. So I began thinking, okay, there are things I can do to improve my japa. There are things I'm doing that are detrimental to my japa. How much of a difference does it make? A little, little thing. And that's what we want to look at now. So what we want to do to begin this journey for the next 6 weeks is analyze where we are at now in our japa. Like, let's just look at it. And how do we look at it? Well, what are things you could look at? Well, how focused am I when I chant? Do I chant watching TV? Do I chant doing email? Do I chant watering my plants? Do I chant while I drive? Do I chant while I shop? Do I chant like this? Here's a good one. Just a real focused Prabhu who's really getting taste out of his japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. For 6,000 more days. It adds up. Right? As opposed to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if we were going to rate our japa, what I did first would be somewhere like about a 2. At least I was chanting. Maybe a 2 or a 3. What I just did would be more in the 6, 7, depending on internally what's going on. Why is this important? Because we need a system of evaluation of where we're at now, because we want to see by the end of the 6 weeks that we're better than the number we're at. Now, one devotee described her chanting when she came into level one retreat as, she described it in terms of taste as sawdust. She said number one was sawdust. When I chant, it tastes like sawdust. And number 10 was a mango lassi with a twist of lemon and whipped cream and cherries. So that's one way we analyze is our effort, and one way we analyze is our experience. What is my experience of japa? Do I finish my rounds and kind of like, well, that was like nothing really happened there. I kind of feel the same as I did before I chanted. Anyone ever feel that way? Kind of garbage in, garbage out japa? It's not real transformation. You kind of feel the same. This chanting doesn't work. I'm losing my faith. Bhakti Siddhanta said, you will lose faith. If you're chanting at a 7 or an 8 every day, when you don't want to put your beads down. You're really relishing something. We have many devotees in our movement who have stopped chanting. Do you think they stop chanting after a week of 7 or 8 japa? Oh, this japa is so ecstatic. I've decided I'm never going to chant again. Or do you think it's the Prabhu who is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram. That's the Prabhu who has the danger. Those are danger signals, because that's the Prabhu who may not be chanting a week or two from now. So that's why it's important. If you're at a 3, that's fine. At least you recognize it. So what we would like you to do is rate your japa. So how do you know where 5 is? 5 is dog paddling. You're in the ocean, you're dog paddling. You're not dying and you're not getting closer to the shore. That's Bhakti Vinod Thakur's analysis of japa. You continue, you don't fall down, but you're not getting closer to the shore. And if we look at it as it like an airplane, it's flying straight. It's not going up, it's not going down. That would be a 5. It's maintenance japa. How was your japa today? It was maintenance. I'm still here. I'm coming back tomorrow. 4 would be something like a couple years from now, you're going to be a little worse off, maybe a little less taste, maybe a little harder. Above a 5, a little better. You can look at other things. How much effort do you put in? How much energy do you put in? We did a little exercise at the last retreat, and I told everybody, start chanting. And then I said, okay, if you were chosen to go to an event in which a mystic was going to analyze how effective meditation is, and there were all kinds of meditators chanting mantras, and you were chosen by the Hare Krishna movement to be that, and he could see mystically, you know, you know, I got to chant really good rounds here because they're going to, you know. And the devotees were sitting, you know, I just had them sit. I said, okay, we're going to do that. And you see the whole room went, They went from like, So, you know, look in terms of effort. What's your effort, you know? This effort is different than this effort. And a lot of times we see devotees with this effort. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You ever seen that? Krishna, Krishna. That's not a lot of effort. That's about a 2 effort, 2.5, isn't it? Hare Krishna. What about concentration? How much effort do you make to concentrate? If you make 50% effort, that probably means half the time you're chanting, your mind is wandering. If you made 100% effort, that means 100% of the time you're focused on the mantra. What about detachment, inspiration, results of chanting? So, yes, we just want you to look at these things, come up with a number. Question? Yeah, that's all right. Sit in a chair and sit up. You know, I mean, effort is, you know, we talk a lot about posture, but, you know, when effort is there, posture becomes. So just come up with a number on a scale of 1 to 10. And number 1 is you get your hand in your bag, but you can't chant that first mantra and you put your bag down.
You know. This is an average?
Yeah, you know, average of the last few months.
Yeah, some days you have
number, you know, if you finish your rounds and you're just like, wow, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I could chant all day. You're up there like a 9. Yeah, I'll just do 64 rounds today. What the heck? You know, I'll call in sick. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then you're up there like 9 or 10. So pick a number, whatever it is. Write it down in your book. And we won't broadcast your number to the world. This is confidential. It's just for you. And if you want to reveal it to your buddy, you can. And then I would like you to ask you a question. Why is it at that number? What's the reason? If it's at a 10, then your reason is, I get up every day at 2 o'clock, I chant 64 rounds, I listen to every word, I give 100% of my energy. If it's at a 1, it means I'm not putting any effort, I'm apathetic. You know, so you just want to analyze why, because these are the things you're going to have to deal with. If it's over a 5, write down, you're doing something right, write it down. And what could you do to get it better? You want to notice what things are getting in the way. I stay up late at night, I eat late at night, I watch TV at night. What's getting in the way of it? Why it's at that number? What are you doing? Maybe I'm chanting too much while I drive. Maybe I do my gardening while I chant. I should really just be focusing. What's getting in the way of good japa? I don't do it in the morning. Whatever it is. I talk to people while I chant. Just make a list of things that you're doing right, you're doing wrong, why it's at that number.
And
well, yeah, depends on your number. If your number is at a 2, you wouldn't really be doing anything that well. So if it's, you know, it's under, if it's over, it's 5 or over, you know, or 4, you know, you're probably doing something good. Well, give yourself some credit. And then, after you do this, choose a number you want to shoot for this week, which is hopefully higher than the number, not lower. Shoot for a number. Shoot for a number this week and write down what you have to do, what you're going to need to do to get to that number. And this is important because these are the questions your buddy's going to ask you. Did you do these things? I want to finish my rounds at this time. I want to get up this time. I'm not going to chant while I water the plants. I'm going to chant if I'm... Whatever it is. I'm going to chant 8 rounds before I go to work. Whatever it is you need to do, write it down. These are going to form the... These are the questions your buddy's going to have to ask you. Did you do those things?
We're not saying we shouldn't chant while watering the plants.
That's your decision. Depends on what level you want to get your japa to.
I mean, you don't consider that japa.
We'll talk about that later. You decide now what you pick your number. Yeah, I always say Kirtaniya Siddhahari after the 16 rounds and during the 16 rounds focus. So pick your number, what you have to do to get to that number, pick some things, and then write those on a separate piece of paper in the form of questions and give that to your buddy. So in other words, if you said, to improve my japa, I need to get up at 5 o'clock. The question is, did you get up at 5? To improve my japa, I need to finish a certain number of rounds by this time. Did you? To improve my japa, I'm going to avoid chanting in the car. Did you avoid chanting in the car? Just whatever. These are the things to improve, and you want your buddy to ask you so you know the Grim Reaper is going to call you every night and ask me questions, but you're making up the questions. This is what you want to do. This is what you realize you need to do to improve. Allow me to make a suggestion that you may want to consider seriously to put on this list. Don't think about what you have to do during the day while you chant. And the question would be, did you think about what you had to do during the day while you're chanting? If you just get over that, you're practically going to hit your number. If you just do that, that's like 90% of it.
What do you do when you chant and you have a thought like it's something that you really need to remember to do that?
Well, we'll talk about it later. There are things to do. For lack of a better answer right now, because it would take me too long to explain it, stop and write it down, although I don't do that anymore. I used to recommend that, but there's a way to get around it. Should I briefly tell you how? Just make a determination you're not going to do that. You create an internal space. In that space, your day doesn't come until you stop chanting. Your day is not allowed in that internal space. you make that determination. It's not easy. It's taken me 8 japa retreats to do it, and I still struggle with it, but that's my determination. My day is not allowed in my japa world. It just doesn't come. Because it destroys it. It destroys good japa. That's why I say, if you can just get your day out of your japa, you're like 90%. Yes?
By our japa, that meditation, you're referring to our japa, mine and Krishna's?
Yeah, you're together, yeah. Yeah, you're together. So don't forget, this is also a thing your buddy is going to ask you. It's going to be on your list. All buddies, remember to ask your partner, how are we doing in our japa? Because that's the meditation for this week, relationship. So how are we doing in the relationship? When you finish this exercise, you're going to share something with your partner. We have 6 minutes. So when you finish this exercise, just raise your hand so I know.
Can we share?
Then I'll tell you what to share. Okay, just let me know when you finish. Finish writing your questions for your buddy and give them to your buddy. These questions are going to save your life. And if this goes really well, we're going to have a phone tree every night. Did you chant with concentration? Did you chant your 16 rounds? Did you focus on the name?
No, I haven't been chanting. I've been chanting.
It's our job, so you know. If you're chanting, I'm chanting.
Everyone at home, they still there? Everyone at home, find a buddy. Do this exercise and find a buddy. Nice. Find somebody online. Find, but do this. This will help you so much. Who needs more time? Okay. So give this sheet to your buddies. Buddies exchange. And buddy, set a time you're going to do this. It should be in the evening sometime at the end of the day to give your buddy enough time to do all these things. And just set a time. And I'll... Or you can set a time when you leave either. I want to demonstrate how this works. So I need your attention, and within the seeds of attention, you'll become attracted to me. So, I know, I'm so beautiful. So, here's how it'll work. You call up your buddy, or you'll decide who's going to call who. And you go, hi, buddy. Did you chant your rounds by this time? Did you focus? Did you do this? And they're going to go, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Now, if you want to go deeper, if you're very busy, you can do this in about 15 seconds each and just go, good night. That's it. Did you do this? Did you? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Your Mukunda's turn. He asked me, did you do this? Yes, no. Did you do that? Yes, no, yes, no. Hari Bol Prabhu. See you tomorrow. You can do that. Or if you like, you can discuss. So I suspect those who are ladies will discuss more. I suspect those who aren't as busy as others will discuss more. But this is just a framework. You can do anything you want. You can talk for hours a day. But you understand the basic principle. Help one another in any way. If you come up with a new question, that's fine. I came up with a new question. Like this lovely devotee here came up with this wonderful statement, because she's a Vrindavan Basi in her heart. Before she chants, she said, Swagatam Nam Prabhu. Welcome, Nam Prabhu. So So by saying that, what happens? You're immediately, you've just welcomed Krishna. It's our japa. Welcome Krishna. Just a little meditation can shift everything. So if you want to do a meditation like that, any meditation you want to do, you can ask your buddy, did you do that meditation? Did you do Swagatam Nam Prabhu? Did you do a meditation in your heart? Build a throne in your heart. Bring Krishna in your heart. Anything you want to do that you realize during the week you can do. Now, what I'd like you to do, we have 1 minute. In 1 minute, I would like you to share with your partner that why it's important that you do the things that you've determined to do. Why it's important to you. It's important to me because if I do this, this and that will happen. If I don't do it, this and that will happen. So just share with your partner for the next minute or two why these things are important. And at the end, give your heart, give your partner, if you're the same sex, a big hug. Or if it's your wife, that's okay also. And then we'll end the program. Okay?
I got a question. Specifically, as Paul was saying, he recommended walking around. Just while walking.
And there's other statements where he said, sitting is best, standing is next best, walking is third best. I have to find it. It's told by two different devotees.
Well, at least it was written down.
Yeah. It's an individual thing. We'll talk about it, but it's an individual thing. Because well, all we do is recommend something and let the devotees experiment with it. And then, you know, the basic problem with walking. It's only if you're walking in a place where you're completely distracted. If you're walking when I'm distracted. Yeah. But there's things that we talk about. People who walk like four.
Completely distracted.
I'm not sure.
If they would sit down a little bit.
I'm not sure that, you know, if someone's just chanting or relaxing, that they're not.
Yeah, well, it's up to the individual to determine that. It's all we do is go here. Let's chant, sitting down for a while, and experience. I put you through an exercise to experience, and then you just experience it. Well, that was cool. I had to try that before. So we just like show different things, let them just practice it, and then let them begin. I mean, I have to be home for my daughter in the morning, but no, it's actually good because she gets up at 6:30 and she takes my own. Yeah, it's like, you know, I can come to the temple, but then I'll start chanting at 5:20.
This
bad chanting can lead to good chanting.
But it's kind of strange also to talk to heart as my disease. I can't say anything. You know, I'm not trying to know if it's a mood.
It's not a chance.
No prema, shavana, no prema.
But we know subjectively when we chant a good round. But when you chant good rounds, you experience something different than bad rounds. So it's not that the good rounds you have no taste, and the bad rounds you have taste.
Well, I know I'm not walking
But you know, in Vrindavan. Only me. You won't be on it. Yeah. It'll be on the internet. Yeah.
But I was hearing,
You don't tell people you're going to. You wouldn't tell anybody. Did you saw he was fine? When he would come back, he was like, "I didn't want to talk to anybody." He was in some other world. I mean, just at the retreat in '64, it's totally different than '64. Completely different world. Bhakti Siddhanta said 64 rounds, you must chant 64, because I'm afraid if you don't, you become overcome by material desire.
I'm the girl who first came, you know that.
I mean, it's just nice to do it once in a while.
So, you're free to go. Give your partner a hug before you leave, and we'll see you next week at what time? 6:29 and 59 seconds at the latest. You can, and see Harinam, you can pay Harinam now before you leave. Maybe she needs this. And all of you on the internet, thank you very much. And Hare Krishna.